Fuck that Molly. I don't
Why
want
is Molly always reading
what
him?
The fuck.
All I right. don't like her.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we spoil Guardians of the Galaxy. We talk about the whole movie, we give away everything. I'm serious. We spoil the shit out of it. So if you haven't seen it, go watch and then come back.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey!
And my other co-host, Molly Glover.
That's me!
And we are here this week where we're going to... It's kind of a geeky boner, but it's really just a geeky boner about one thing.
Yeah.
We're sharing a boner.
This week, we are going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the fucking Galaxy!
Motherfucking Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Spoilers, right? We're going to go spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to spoil the film. The movie's been out for 2 weeks. If you are listening to our podcast and you are a nerd, which you should be, I mean, it's Geeks Without God. Holy
yeah.
fuck. But if for some reason you're just totally in this for the godless thing, we're not probably going to talk about atheism almost at all.
Mm-mm.
So go read PZ Meyer's blog or some shit like that. Whatever you want to do. We are going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to spoil the fucking shit out of the movie.
I'm just saying, could probably catch a matinee like right now. Like if you
right
hit
now.
Pause and you went to an AMC, I bet they are showing it right now.
Yeah.
I guess the point we're trying to make is if you are a geek and you haven't gone to see Guardians of the Galaxy yet, you suck.
It's so good.
I mean, we're not trying to check anyone's geek card or anything.
No, really,
but,
I am.
But
I am.
You are.
So, and also, if you're a geek and you haven't gone to see Guardians of the Galaxy, but you have seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yeah,
just stop listening to the fucking podcast.
Yeah, we want your card back.
Yeah. That's just completely unacceptable.
So real quick, I just want to start this off because, Jeremy Stomberg told me that...
Take a drink.
All right. Jeremy Stomberg gave me the best line about this movie, which is, this is the best Star Wars movie since Empire Strikes Back.
Oh!
Yeah, someone on that same Facebook thread said, it's like a Star Wars movie, but every character is Han Solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and Peter
Which isn't
Quill,
true, because Groot is clearly a Chewie.
He's Chewbacca.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Peter Quill is because he's a kid of the 80s. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about this movie. When they establish his character... His character has that swagger of Han Solo and
for sure.
Jones.
Indiana Jones,
and it's
absolutely.
Like, it makes perfect sense that that would be his role model.
So one of the things I loved about this movie is that it never, and Nick and I saw it twice. We're lucky enough. A friend alerted us to a preview showing that we got to see 2 weeks early, and then we went and saw it again opening night, and it was just as good the second time, I can tell you.
The first time didn't have the little thing at the end.
There were no stingers at the end.
Oh,
the Howard the Duck stinger wasn't there.
Ah, spoiler. Oh, well, too late.
So what I love about this movie is it's never serious for longer than about a minute. Like a literal minute is about as long as it ever is completely serious without something happening, including the very beginning with his mom dying of cancer and the whole
The beginning
take
is
my
such
hand like Peter and it's so sad, but it right away you're in the movie and the alien ship takes him and it's and the or what are they the not Reavers they're
is
it Reavers
Ravagers
and they take him and it's just even in the moments where it was like a little serious, like the worst, it's never very long.
But it's amazing. It starts with this absolutely just fucking depressing,
gutting
as
scene.
Hell moment, and which is, that takes a lot of guts.
Yeah,
it's like I think we're gonna start this movie with his mom dying of cancer.
Yeah,
and him refusing to take her hand.
And they showed it. They didn't tell it. They never said.
Yeah.
His grandpa never came in and said, "Your mom's real sick, champ, and she's probably gonna die," or anything like that. Yeah. It was just, "Peter, your mom wants to see you."
There's very little exposition.
Yeah.
They did show and not tell for most of the movie.
It was great. It was just, just all of it, I thought, was just, that's one of my favorite things of movies, when they just get to the fucking, like, they just get right to it.
I think the thing that really impressed the hell out of me about this movie, and frankly with most of the Marvel movies, is the writing is just tight.
Oh.
They had so many characters in this
James
movie.
James Gunn.
Yeah. Well, he was a director.
He wrote it and directed it.
Because there was a treatment of it before he tweaked. So he's one of the writers, but and again, this has been something about the Marvel movies that's impressed the hell out of me, and especially this movie with so many characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But by the end of that movie, I felt like I really understood all of the five Guardians of the Galaxy characters.
I feel like 10 or 15 minutes in, after they've kind of introduced Rocket and Groot as like bounty hunters, and they're all on the Nova planet together. And I'm like, because I've read a lot of Marvel Cosmic, I was worried for the first few seconds there. I'm like, this might be too much for people to absorb too fast. Like, I started to kind of worry about it at that point. But, like, quickly I was bought over and won over. But, I mean, the Marvel Cosmic universe is really huge. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of history.
Lore.
And even if you discount the Shi'ar and the stuff that's tied to X-Men that they can't do, and if you discount the Skrulls and the stuff that they can't do because it's tied to Fantastic Four, it's still fucking huge.
Yeah.
It's still so much.
And I'm obviously not a Marvel Cosmic... well, not obviously, but I haven't read any of that material.
So when they went to Nowhere, and they showed... They said that it was inside the dead, you know, fossil's head of a Celestial.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Did you know what that meant? Like, Celestials, is that something
sure,
that...
Sure, I know. I knew what that
okay.
meant. Okay. Yeah.
That's the part that I think that... And not to be all... Most people who see the movie aren't gonna... But I think if you weren't at least a little bit plugged into comics... You're not going to necessarily know how fucking insane it is that they showed Celestials in a Marvel continuity universe movie.
First, they show Nowhere, and they say what it is. And I was just like, oh, holy shit, that's so awesome, holy shit. And then, when they're in the Collector's little chamber, he shows a fucking video of a Celestial, and it's like Roa the Seeker. Like, it's an actual Celestial from the comics. And it's done in that Jack Kirby style. He's got his little Celestial backpack on.
It's super brief.
It's like a 5-second clip, but they show it, and they show the scale, and they actually show it, and it's drawn in that Jack Kirby future style.
Exactly.
It's such an amazing thing that they introduced that if you very casually read Marvel comics, or if you're not familiar with Marvel, the cosmic stuff, you might not realize the incredible significance of showing a Celestial. It's amazing.
I'm only tangentially aware of it. I just know that afterward, Nick and Mark and a couple of our other like huge comic friends were just like, a fucking Celestial. Like, they showed a Celestial. Like, my dick.
It's a big deal.
I think they did a nice job. And obviously, I don't even recognize a lot of it. But it seemed like they did a decent job of fan service while making it tremendously accessible to just about anybody who watches that.
Yeah. So much fan service.
It's just fun.
I felt that Bautista, who played Drax, the Destroyer, was amazing. And I think that he, much like when I saw The Rock in the very first Mummy movie, and I was like, or was he in the first one? I think whichever one he was in.
Second one. He was in The Scorpion King, which is a shitty movie, but Rock was really good.
But when you saw him in it and you were like, oh, because at first you're like, oh, The Rock, ugh, they needed a big muscly dude, so they got a wrestler. And then he's got amazing comic timing, and that's Bautista. His timing and his inflection, all of that was great. I heard that he begged for the role. Like,
really?
He campaigned hard for the role, and that when he got it, like, by his own admission, he cried like a little girl, because it was like all he ever wanted was to be Drax the Destroyer.
It's weird. That's one of the characters that they changed drastically for the movie that I have zero problem with.
Mostly they changed the color of his skin.
Well, Drax is human.
Oh.
Who gets killed by Thanos, who gets put in an alien body for the purpose of giving him revenge to kill Thanos.
Oh, okay.
And
who puts him in the alien body?
It's complicated.
Right.
It's his backstory in the comics is one of those like Silver Age holdovers that's just like better left changed and like brushed under the carpet.
Yeah,
just ignore it kind of thing.
They did perfect.
Yeah.
They, it, everything that they changed, I'm happy with. With, like, a very minor complaint that's meaningless.
What's that?
Cosmo.
Cosmo?
The dog in the spacesuit, the helmet.
Yeah.
Cosmo is a Russian cosmonaut dog that gets launched off into space, that gets, like, sucked into a wormhole and ends up at nowhere, and is telepathic.
Right.
And vicious and awesome. But his telepathy in the comics is... captioned with a Russian accent. Because that's the, you know, the words.
Because he is Cosmo. He is Russian cosmonaut dog.
Russian space dog.
I am go through a wormhole and find myself in nowhere.
In the comics, he's like the guy that runs nowhere.
Oh.
And he's a fan favorite character. But even the fact that they included him at all in the movie is a fucking amazing.
Yeah,
so my complaint is the nittiest of picks.
The nittiest of picks that I would have is Thanatos as a villain kind of
Thanos.
Thanos, whatever the hell. I don't even remember his fucking name. That's the thing. Kind of meh. But I don't think the movie was really about him.
No, they're setting him up for Thor.
Yeah.
Well.
And the Avengers.
We'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll see. They're setting him up because he's dead. Or wait, am I getting these?
Thanos ones? Did not die. Ronan the Accuser.
You're thinking Ronan the Accuser.
So Ronan the Accuser, meh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, meh.
Lee Pace was great, though.
Well, I mean, he was fine. It's just the character itself. It's like, you really didn't.
Yeah, I think his I really feel like his character, and I love Lee Pace, so I think his character was very much like a stepladder to Thanos in this movie. Like, it was a way of bringing us to Thanos, because Thanos is Thanos is huge in the Marvel universe, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No, but I didn't realize, because I was so taken by the opening that I wasn't watching the credits for names the first time we saw it, I didn't realize Karen Gillan from Doctor Who was in it, and then I didn't realize she was Nebula, and so when after the first time we saw it, Nick was like, God, Karen Gillan was really great, and I was like,
who the hell is
Gillian?
Gillan.
Is it Gillan? I thought it was Karen.
Let's talk about that some more.
Was like, she's Nebula, and then I saw it. I mean, it glass shattered, and I saw it, and the second time through, I couldn't stop watching her and hearing her. I kept expecting her to say Rory, which was, you know, just because it's her voice, but the makeup. I hope this movie wins awards for the makeup effects.
Because her makeup's incredible.
Yondu.
And her character
Drax
is
too.
Yondu.
Her character is conveniently still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, deliberately.
She had blindness.
Gunn has commented on it.
Well, I mean, they made it really clear. They did not show her die.
Yeah.
In the comics, she wields the Infinity Gauntlet.
Really?
For a brief period of time. Yeah, she's important to the Infinity Gauntlet story.
So we've seen three of the five gems?
Three of six.
So we've seen, we saw the
Tesseract.
This purple gem is the power gem.
Yes,
right.
Power stone.
Yeah.
And then the Tesseract
is space.
Space, and that's, what color is that, blue?
It's blue in the movies. Yep.
And then what else have we seen?
We've seen the ether. The aether in Thor Dark World.
Right.
Is the
one in Loki's staff.
It is. No. It's confirmed to be a power gem in the comics, stone in the movies. However, they haven't said which one, though it's heavily implied that it's the reality gem, because Malekith, Christopher Eccleston's character, is going to destroy all of reality and rebuild it from scratch. So, I mean, that would be something that would fall within
the... It's not in Loki's staff?
No,
there is some speculation that the stone in Loki's staff is one of the power stones.
And they're wrong. There's a deleted scene in the Avengers movie where they show the staff getting its power from the Tesseract. So it's the Loki's staff is not the Mind Gem. It's a popular fan theory that's been
debunked.
But 3 out of 6.
So back to Guardians of the Galaxy, like specifically the movie, I have to say there's a few lines that have stuck with me since seeing it. One of them is when they're telling Rocket he's a raccoon or whatever, and then, what's a raccoon? It's like, well, it's what you are. And when he says, ain't nothing like me except me. Like, I love that. I mean, I like bumper fucking bumper sticker slogan for real. Ain't nothing like me, set me. And then the other one being at the very end with the whole like the when they're all standing up. And
I'm standing
like,
too.
Fine, I'm standing too. Okay, we're all standing up like a bunch of assholes. Like, there's so many times that, like, with comedy stuff or whatever, that it's all been like, okay, yeah, okay, now we're all here, like a bunch of assholes. Are we all ready to do this? Yeah. Like, and that camaraderie,
sure,
but deprecation, I really liked. Like, it's he never changed. He wasn't all of a sudden like, all right, guys, I'm also in. Like, forever.
They all had an arc.
Yeah.
But none of them changed to be a different character. I mean,
they were different people. They were the same people.
I'm a warrior, and I don't dance.
Pelvic sorcery.
Pelvic sorcery.
I think my favorite...
my new all-female punk little, band.
Pelvic sorcery. I think my favorite little comedy bit at the very end... I've expunged all your records. Your records are clean. So don't go committing any crimes, you guys. But what if somebody else has something and I want it more than they do, so I take it from them? No, well, that's stealing.
No, that's stealing. That's a crime. Don't do that.
No,
it's a crime.
That doesn't make any sense. I want it more than they do.
I want it more, sir.
Yeah.
But I want it more, sir. Yeah. Like, maybe you didn't hear me.
I like that Bradley Cooper didn't sound like Bradley Cooper. He did a great job. Voicing Rocket. The teeth, Rocket's mouth and teeth are based on Von Trier, James Gunn's dog.
Which we heard because our Sharon and Rick know him through
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember how it is that Sharon met him. Some weird online, they became friends online kind of a thing. And now they're friends. And so they did all the modeling of the teeth off one of his little snappy dogs. And
Yeah, the this is kind of off the topic. Not really, but we did PowerPoint karaoke at the Fringe, and one of my topics was I'm totally going to spoil the shit out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I got a slide that actually had a raccoon in it, so I was able to make
that's sets. Incredible.
And the whole point of the damn thing was to not spoil the shit out of Guardians of the Galaxy, and I actually I got caught because at one point I started to talk about something that actually happened in the movie. I was like, fuck, I'm about to actually spoil the shit out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
So I think it's important to address, just because some people have brought it up, the Gamora feminism situation, which is that even though she's, they're a team and she's the female member of the team, the toy situation, there's not a lot of Gamora toys. She's not featured on as much merchandise.
Her action figure in the set of the Guardians of the Galaxy set is an exclusive.
Yeah.
So you won't find it at Target. You won't find it at Kmart or whatever. I think it's like KB only or Toys R Us only. But the thing is, that's not uncommon. That happens quite
often.
My
industry, and even in the games industry, we get asked for exclusives all the time. And
usually it's
them.
A variant or something, but it just happened to be the Gamora figure, which...
It's too bad.
Seems to me that more of the issue is, like, there's shit tons of, like, shirts out there that have four members of the team.
That is true.
That is also,
party favors for kids' birthdays and shit like that.
Don't have Gamora.
She's being left out of.
Which is kind of fucked up.
No, it is fucked up, and it's a totally valid complaint. Yeah. I want to make sure we're not addressing because
we haven't really talked about Gamora, which is that she's a fucking awesome character.
She is.
Okay, so my thing with Gamora is that she's... all right, two things. I really wish that they had just... But they bulked Zoe Saldana up a bit. Just
muscular.
A little bit. Like, other character, Chris Pratt got in fucking crazy shape for this thing.
He got in shape for Zero Dark Thirty.
But still, he stayed
in shape.
People got in shape. I mean, people got in shape. But they kept her super skinny. And there's always the argument like, oh, she's an alien.
A cyborg.
And a... What they don't talk about that though, really, in the movie. No, they say, you know what he did to me, which could be rape, it could be capture, it could be
they showed on the security scan for when they go into the cooler, whatever it is, the fridge.
And I'm not I'm not trying to skinny bash or body shame.
And I'm not trying to be an apologist for beating her out.
I just wish it was just hard to watch the only strong female character be stick fucking thin and in boots and like and stuff.
Yeah, I did have that. I did have that issue, and I think that's a that's an issue with the way Hollywood portrays women in these kind of films. Yeah,
and they took all her emotionality away. Both of the women characters were like zero. Like affect, real flat, like no, like even the man who is her father, you know, you find out isn't her father and is this terrible thing.
God, he looks amazing.
And, oh, Josh Brolin
as Thanos.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it.
But no, I do love Gamora, and I think they did a great job with her. And Zoe Saldana is amazing. I really love her as an actress.
She is.
And I think that she did a good job with all the little quirky head tilts and kind of like what I don't, you know, and with the music when she was. It's the melody is very nice, like just shouting and
she's fucked up because I mean she's you know bred and designed and turned into this murder machine and that's kind of all she knows.
Except she clearly wants to break free of it, which is kind of a cool thing about that character.
She's funny in the comics.
Yeah.
She's like, Brian Michael Bendis is writing Guardians of the Galaxy right now, and he writes quippy dialogue.
He writes great women too.
It's his thing. He does write women pretty well. And in the comics, she's very serious and deadly. Not the same serious accidental humor of Drax in the movie.
Right.
But
not
like
literal.
But like, I mean, she puts down Peter Quill quite frequently because she's clearly more badass than he is.
Yeah.
And like, kind of like, don't worry, I've got this for you type of thing.
I like
she's
that they,
great.
I like that they didn't ever get romantic. I liked that it never, that.
That he tried, but.
He tried, because that's what he does. And I like, because, you know, he'll even fuck that whatever, that alien, like. What was
tentacles.
The tentacle.
Needle teeth or whatever.
The one that Drax later is like, all right, man, who has lain with a, you know, whatever. He's like, come on, man, one time. Like, I, but I'm hoping that in the next movie, that because this first
one is...
And
there's going to be a next movie.
Yeah, I'm hoping that in the next movie, we get to see a little bit more about the other four members of the team. And I know, I understand this was Peter Quill focused because that's how it works, you know, but like,
well, he's
I would like
human.
To hear more.
He's the Earthling. Yeah. He's who we're going to most readily relate to.
Well, he's half human.
Yeah.
His dad was probably, a being of pure light.
We're probably going to find that out.
I heard they're changing it from the comics, which I'm...
That's good.
Mixed feelings.
It could be okay.
Well, it's... It's too hard, it's too early to say if it's good or bad change because, you know, they haven't changed it yet. But in the comics, his father is Jason, J-S-O-N, the emperor of Spartax, of the Spartoi people. They're human-looking aliens. And his dad is like a fascist space dictator who wants his son, like, under his control and to inherit his title. And he wants... this, you know, rigidity that Peter Quill is obviously not down with.
I loved when his mom, when Peter Quill's mom was like, your daddy was a being of pure light. And you can kind of sense from the people around her that it's like, oh, for God's sake, this shit again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the drugs, the morphine's making her say that crazy shit again about his,
It's probably absolutely true.
Yeah. That's, well, clearly, I mean, a lot of people, I have a feeling, didn't know who Chris Pratt was before this movie.
God, he's so funny, though.
We started watching Parks and Recreation from the very first day it was on.
He's not terribly likable in the first season of that show. He's kind of a...
He's kind of just a bumbling dumbass.
Yeah.
And not a villain, but, like, he's the dumb boyfriend who's
he's a bad boyfriend.
Who's dragging down a character.
Right.
And he is... That show is amazing at giving people different things to change into. And I love Chris Pratt. I mean, he's my favorite character on that show easily.
Sure. Him and Ron Swanson.
And so when I heard he got cast in this, it was really thrilling. Because he's so... He has that Harrison Ford quality without having the leading man ego.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
He's humble-ish.
Because like, Harrison Ford's not humble. And never has been.
No.
I have a feeling his whole life has been fairly charmed because he's a really classically good-looking dude. And Chris Pratt, you can tell, has always been kind of a pudgy, you know, nerdish kid who was the class clown, I imagine, you know. But I don't know.
I think The thing that's amazing about Guardians of the Galaxy and really all the Marvel films, like this last year of Marvel films, it's like they started out the year and they just pointed. They did the Babe Ruth called shot. They're like,
oh, yeah.
We're going to hit a home run with every fucking movie we bring out this year. So you guys just better get fucking ready.
Yep.
You know, and okay, so fine. I mean, Winter Soldier, you kind of had a hunch that one was
so good.
But Thor 2, because, I mean, Thor 2 was way better than it had any right to be.
And then
they're like, oh, we're going to do this movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, about these characters that 90% of the movie going public.
Talking raccoon, giant tree thing.
Because most people weren't familiar with them, I feel like they had more liberty to do something awesome.
Mm. Absolutely, but they did.
No, yeah.
But they were like, you know what? We can do whatever the fuck we want with this. And people win. I mean, it was the highest grossing August opening ever.
I feel like I can say, and this is my personal taste, but I say with complete authority that this is the best Marvel movie so far. Agreed. I really feel that way. But that's because I like comedy a lot.
And
I also, a lot of people are like, well, it certainly wasn't better than The Avengers, or it wasn't better than Winter Soldier. But I think it was, because Winter Soldier took itself really seriously.
It's a serious movie.
And The Avengers took itself pretty seriously at points.
Sure.
And there were parts of The Avengers where I was like, kind of like, yeah, I mean, I know all this. Like, yeah. And so Guardians of the Galaxy, it never slowed down. There was never a slow moment. Even the slowest scene for me, I think, was the whole, guys, we got to do this, and I'm going to convince you all to do it, and you're probably going to die. Like, I'm going to be serious. And even that scene didn't drag. I mean, there were...
Do you know, I've only seen it once, and I would have to sit down and watch, because the best of the Marvel movies, I think all, it's like, it's picking your favorite kitten, right?
Yeah.
Because Avengers is awesome. Winter Soldier was awesome. Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Iron Man 3, pretty damn good,
Iron Man 3, pretty goddamn good. You know, Thor 2, well, I would not say it's one of the best, but it's still a fucking lot of fun.
They haven't made a bad movie. How's that? There's no Marvel movie that I do not want to see that again.
Every movie with Marvel characters that isn't very good wasn't made by Marvel.
Even Iron Man 2 was all right.
When your red-headed stepchild is Iron Man 2, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Vin Diesel casting joke?
Oh.
No.
Okay. Not joke.
It's
theory.
Right. It's a joke on audiences. It's before Guardians of the Galaxy, before he was cast as Groot, 2011, Vin Diesel agreed to be in a Marvel movie that's debuting in 2016. He posted on Twitter and on his Facebook page as, this is a huge deal. It's a combining of large Marvel properties. You've never seen anything like it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be huge. I can't wait. And he literally couldn't wait. So they cast him as the voice of Groot for Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, what's funny about this is, because after Guardians of the Galaxy came out, Vin Diesel tweeted, "You made it happen, you guys. Vin Diesel and Marvel together. Like, I thank you all so much for your support. I'm looking forward to doing more with Marvel. I almost think that they think I'm inhuman. Capital I, inhuman.
Huh.
So they can't do mutants. They're going to do Inhumans instead. This has been a theory of mine for a while now. Vin Diesel is going to be cast as Black Bolt.
Because Black Bolt can't talk.
Black Bolt's power is his... A single word from him has, like, the force of an atomic bomb.
So he doesn't speak.
So he never speaks.
So the voice can be Groot, and the actor, him, his person, can be another character without it being an overlap of problem.
Funny.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah. I'm
because, like,
80% certain he's going to be cast as Boltagon Blackagon.
Because while they've had, like, so Chris Evans... was Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four movies,
right.
But that wasn't Marvel Studios.
Right, not Marvel
Studios. It's not an overlap for him to be Captain America,
right.
And yeah, that's the only one that's had any kind of...
I mean, I just got to say, the way Marvel is interweaving all of these movies so that they're... It is a shared world, and even though, you know, you don't get the characters necessarily from one to the next, but, I mean, also what they're doing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And being like, no, this is a TV show, and it's about these characters, but they share the same universe,
yes.
And if if S.H.I.E.L.D. goes belly up in Winter Soldier, it's got to go belly up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This is what Marvel's always been best at.
And continuity. They're doing this incredible job with continuity, and it makes me want so bad for, like, Spider-Man to get back in with Marvel.
And I know, and X-Men.
For Fantastic Four and X-Men to get back in with Marvel.
How much money will it take? Throw all the money
Fantastic Four is what would make the most change. Fantastic Four would matter more than X-Men and more than Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because they're Marvel's first family. Their origin story, their villains, Doctor Doom, the Skrulls, Annihilus, all of that stuff ties.
Namor.
It matters.
Namor's a mutant.
Namor is owned by a different... It's not owned by Fox. It's not owned by Sony. It's not owned by Marvel. Theirs is like... They sold that property to some jackass little company, and they don't...
How is Namor not owned by Fox, who owns mutants? That's crazy.
Because he predates the X-Men as one of the invaders.
He was retconned as a mutant.
With Captain America and the original Human Torch.
Interesting.
The
original Human Torch, the one that just screamed all the time. I'm literally on fire.
Jim Hammond, I think.
I guess it's more that the thought of all of these characters being able to, you know, because there are tons of storylines with, like, Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four. Tons of stories with Spider-Man and the Avengers that you can't do because you can't use that character.
Civil War. Oh, my God. If they could bring...
It might happen.
They need Spider-Man for Civil War. They really do, because the whole point of Civil War was when the government says, you have to register, we have to know who you are, no secret identities. Like, from now on, every superhero, we need to know who you are. And Spider-Man says, no.
No. He says yes. And he becomes Tony Stark's poster child for registration.
He
reveals his identity to the entire world.
Who says no? Is it Cap?
Cap is it's Cap versus Iron Man. But
I know. I thought Spider-Man said no originally.
Is Tony Stark's poster child for registration, and he gets the Iron Spider suit with the mechanical legs and all that shit.
He says no.
And then halfway through, he realizes Tony Stark has gone too far, and he turns coat.
I could have sworn that at first he was like no, and he takes
No, but the thing is that there are those storylines that you can't do when they aren't all together.
Yeah.
And the X-Men film this summer I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it, but.
I'm making a face and shaking my head. I just realized that was terrible radio. No,
75% of that movie was reaction shots.
Yeah.
How many mutants can we show seeing something that just happened?
I didn't like it, but it wasn't because it was bad. It was just boring, which for me is the cardinal sin of any movie.
How the fuck do you do a movie that's all about Sentinels and never show a Sentinel ever killing a fucking mutant?
They showed them all the time.
In the future they did, but the actual Sentinels, not the Nimrods in the future... But that's not derogatory. That's the model in the future. It's called a Nimrod. The actual Sentinels in the 70s, they never show an activated Sentinel except for under Magneto's control attacking humans.
But they used Raven's DNA, and they were able to make them.
Because robots use DNA to change things.
Yeah, robots use DNA to change things.
I can't stand it.
So fuck it all.
That's fine. Liking it doesn't have to be quantified. That's the best part about liking things. Yeah. Neither does not liking it. Like, that's... I had a visceral dislike reaction to it.
Everything's subjective except for Days of Future Past.
I hated the new Spider-Man so much that I...
I didn't hate the new Spider-Man. I just was bored.
Fucked up Green Goblin so fucking bad.
I just hated all the villains. I loved Mary Jane.
They do a really good job.
Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man's great.
Yeah, I love Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I think he's great as Spider-Man. That's why I was so pissed off. Yeah.
And,
they wasted Harry Osborn in that movie. They wasted that actor's amazing. Electro was ridiculous.
Fucking the Skrillex voice that they did for him, musical. Yeah, that was bullshit.
So ultimately, what we're saying is the point is all this shit needs to get back with Marvel Studios because they know what the fuck they're doing.
Hey, being such fucking bitch babies.
They got Punisher back, they got Daredevil back.
Yeah.
And next year, 2015, we get that Daredevil television show with the Kingpin and fucking Karen Page.
And if that does well, we might end up with an Alias show.
There is going to be an Alias show. Because it goes from Daredevil to Alias to Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Here's the thing, though. There's going to come a point that eventually Marvel's going to make a bad movie. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be when they make a Punisher movie. I'm just saying.
Punisher's really boring to me. Because it's like... the at least the last Punisher movie I saw, I remember sitting there and thinking, there's bad guys in the room, and he's not punishing them. He's just letting them go after talking to them. That's not how it works.
That Tom Jane Punisher movie, every single scene they take out of Welcome Back Frank is every good scene in the movie, and every bad part of the movie is something they didn't take from Welcome Back Frank.
Do you really think they're going to make a bad one?
I'm just saying, of course they're going to make a bad
one. It'll happen.
Pixar made a bad one. I mean, yeah.
Pixar made a few bad ones.
There's going to be a point where they just bite off more than they can chew, or they get the wrong person in charge of the project or something, where it just doesn't click. It's going to happen. I mean, there are a lot of people who would argue Iron Man 2 was bad. I think it was okay.
That's like saying my perfect kid got an A minus on his test, and so he's grounded.
I'm just saying that there's going to be a point, and I'm just saying that I feel Punisher is the property.
Punisher is the property that
when they're like, oh, we can do anything, let's make a Punisher movie.
Punisher doesn't need superpowers. He just needs like good fight choreography and shooting and stuff. So they just keep him with all the other Hell's Kitchen characters in the Netflix series. That way they can get away with their violence.
That's not making a movie.
Fine by me. Punisher
doesn't
need to be.
I'm just saying, if they make a movie, yeah.
But
Punisher, what do you think if they made a movie? What movie do you think they can make that would be bad almost automatically, or would run the highest risk?
I think the highest risk for a Marvel movie upcoming is Stephen Strange. Because they'll be introducing like serious fucking magic, which they haven't done yet, because everything else they've explained away with, like, you know, Clark's Law, right? Thor isn't so much a god in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as he is like an extra-dimensional alien-type guy who has godlike powers.
Right.
He's not inherently supernatural. There's science afoot there.
But there isn't with Strange.
No.
But there isn't with Strange.
Sorcerer.
Strange is straight-up magic,
but they've
Sorcerer
good
Supreme.
Names. They've gotten the good name to catch the project.
They really do.
You gotta... You know, well, I agree that is a scary property. It seems like they're making the right decisions.
But it's a big risk.
I'm going to hold fast and say I have faith that Marvel will not make a bad movie. That the worst they can make is a sequel to a great movie that falls a little flat, like Iron Man 2.
There's a lot of fans clamoring to eventually do World War Hulk, which I believe you cannot pull off without Reed Richards and the Marvel Illuminati, which includes Namor and such. And so I think a Hulk movie could be a failure.
Well, and wait, was the first Ang Lee Hulk, was that a Marvel movie?
It's not part of the MCU, the 199999.
So, not to be a gender traitor, like always, but part of me is like not super interested in a Black Widow movie, because I just don't see how a movie is going to be super interesting with her. But what I would love to see is a Black Widow television series.
So do you like a James Bond movie?
It depends. Some of them.
Because that's what Black Widow
I like some
be.
Of them, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if all it is sexy female spy doing female stuff, being Russian sexy stuff,
Richard K. Morgan wrote two trades about Black Widow that delves into her backstory a little bit, about the Red Room and her being trained in the USSR and stuff. The things they say about her, and I don't remember what the other one's titled, I think those would make great basis for a Black Widow movie.
PG-13?
No.
That's the thing. Marvel hasn't made an R-rated movie yet, and I think that some of these characters, they need to have
that's
that.
That's because they're doing all their R-rated stuff. It seems that they're going to do all their R-rated stuff on Netflix.
That's why I'm saying maybe Black Widow would be better as a series, because it might be more interesting to see that character development over 12 episodes that are half-hour long than two-hour movie.
They're treating the Netflix series as a 13-hour-long movie.
Right.
They're not doing it like a serialized television show. They're doing it like a long movie.
That's cool. True Detective was like that.
I'm taking days off work, and we're going to fucking go through it all the day it comes out.
Nice.
Anyway. All right. So we've been talking for a long time.
What?
Yeah,
about nerd stuff?
the point is, go see Guardians of the Galaxy if you haven't. Hopefully we didn't spoil it.
What was your favorite part?
Tell us in the comments. Tell us what your favorite part was. If you didn't like the movie, please don't comment, because we'll just lose respect for it.
In fact, if you didn't like the movie, why don't you just go unfollow us and find your
stop
new
listening
time
to our podcast. Yourself. Fuck you all.
Yeah.
One more quick thing.
Let's go to church.
DC flinched, by the way. Avengers 3, The Age of Extinction, which was originally Age of Ultron, was set to come out on the same day as Batman versus Superman versus Wonder Woman versus Cyborg versus Aquaman
Batman
or whatever
the fuck. The world.
Right, yeah. They had the same release weekend set up, and DC flinched, and they moved their movie back 2 months.
Well, and they should have, because there was no way they were going to fucking compete with Avengers. Yeah.
But Jason Momoa is the Khal Drogo. He's Aquaman.
Yeah, he looks pretty good as Aquaman.
We'll see, because holy fuck, they got to do something. DC is just fucking drowning.
They should have stuck to standalone movies, man. They can't do what Marvel does.
Aquaman well, does whatever most fish can.
All right, so five questions. Molly, we are moving on to five questions.
Yeah.
We have answers from a listener. Why don't you tell us about the listener who submitted our answers?
Our listener is Nathan Heavenstone, and he wrote to us at the very beginning of the year. So,
we're in the same calendar year.
Yeah, right, we are same calendar year.
Whoa.
All right.
And question number one, Nick.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I'm ashamed to admit that I haven't seen any movies in the last 30 days. Since I'm a college student and I'm working two jobs, I just don't really have the time. And even when I do have the time, I have had an obsession with science documentaries and TV shows over the last few years. So I see more of those. The closest I get to anything feature length in the last 30 days are BBC Prog Rock Britannia, An Observation in Three Movements, Psychedelic Experimental Rock is my guitar playing style.
Alright.
Watching the Blu-ray of the 2013 arena tour of Jesus Christ Superstar with Tim Minchin as Judas Iscariot.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
What? That sounds amazing. Yeah. Bill Cosby's Far From Finished stand-up DVD.
Huh.
Rewatching Day of the Doctor.
Alright.
And rewatching the 2-disc Led Zeppelin DVD.
Hmm.
Of those, the last one would have to be my favorite for reasons I'll get into later. Let me just say, Molly is intrigued.
Yeah, Molly is a big old Led Zeppelin fan.
Yes.
So. All right, question number two is, what's your favorite atheist character?
Doctor Who. At least in the States, I hate all the other depictions of atheists because every single one of them fits into a frustrating and negative stereotype of atheists, and I'm fucking sick of it. I would give anything, and I do mean anything, to see just one character in a highly popular television show in the U.S. who not only is an open atheist, but is a protagonist and is written to make atheists look good while challenging theistic preconceptions about atheists and maybe about life.
You're give anything, huh? What about your immortal soul?
Oh, yeah.
Would you go to church?
We already did that. No.
Okay. Question number three. What's your geekiest hobby?
And this goes to my reason for my answer number one. I had to think hard about this one because at first I thought I didn't have one. I discovered my inner geek too late to really have a geeky obsession yet. And even where I could build one, Batman, Doctor Who, etc., I can't afford to. I even find free ways to get my Batman and Doctor Who stuff, like torrents, because, again, I can't afford to do the traditional capitalist way. I also hate capitalism, but that's off topic. But then I realized...
Communist.
But then I realized geekiness isn't limited to sci-fi and science.
Goddamn
there is
right.
such a thing as being a geek about, for example, music. So for me, it would have to be Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page is why I play guitar, and his use of a violin and sometimes a viola bow on his guitar inspired my interest in psychedelic experimental guitar. Robert Plant made me feel a hell of a lot better about my voice, which some might say never really changed. I used to hate it until I realized it meant I could actually sing the music of Zeppelin in the original key, for the most part in the right register, and sound okay doing it. Holla. Once I found the time to start learning bass and piano, it'll be because I want to play John Paul Jones's piano and bass lines, and John Bonham is, in my opinion, the greatest drummer of all time. Although my collection of Led Zeppelin's official releases is slimmer than it should be, again, can't afford it, my collection of Led Zeppelin bootlegs is obsessive insofar as I have at least one audio source of every Led Zeppelin show that has a known audio recording, and for most of them I actually have multiple audio sources. I have bootleg videos of Led Zeppelin live at Earl's Court, at Nebworth, in Seattle, etc. Plus, you can get all of this for free, that is, assuming you have an internet connection and a torrent client or the ability to download large files, because we Zepp traders hate MP3 with a passion, which makes the collecting part pretty easy.
Whack.
Two of my biggest regrets in life are being born too late to see them live in their heyday. I was born in 1987. I agree and fuck you. And missing the 2007 reunion because I couldn't afford it and I wasn't picked in the extremely unintelligent ticket lottery. And the chances of them ever doing a reunion again are slim to none at this point. Well, I mean, one of them's dead.
That makes it harder.
That said, I do have over 15 bootleg audio sources of the reunion, 5 bootleg video sources, and the deluxe box set of the official release celebration day, including CD, DVD, Blu-ray, and vinyl.
That is pretty fucking geeky.
Super fucking geeky. Also, yeah. I find it very... it thrills me that Zep fans with their downloading and torrents are super against MP3 because Jimmy Page was like the most audiophile purist and would spend weeks if not months in the studio perfecting the track mastering and getting adjusting the balance just so of every little fucking bit of their songs.
Most of that is done in FLAC. The lossless audio compression.
Yeah.
I saw Page and Plant. My dad took me. I didn't appreciate it then as much as I do now.
Yeah. I heard Led Zeppelin for the first time when I was in college, and it was instant love, and I was dating this guy, I was engaged to this guy who I was living with, who was very upset with me that I liked that terrible music. And he was just like, I just can't believe that you would like something as just, ugh, like Led Zeppelin. And in my mind, I remember thinking, this is never going to work.
Yeah. That's pretty much the end of it, isn't it? All right. Yeah. Question number 4, what's your favorite sandwich?
I have to go with a cliche and a classic because it's comfort food, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. My mom does it the best, of course.
Yeah.
But I like it when I make it, too.
Oh, right. And no specifics on kind of jelly?
No specifics beyond that. Right. For someone who is extremely specific about his Led Zeppelin bootlegs, his peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
He's not passionate about
fucking
sandwiches.
Fucking throw it on bread.
Come on. More details about the peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the comments. All right, question number 5.
Question number 5. What is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
I have 2 answers. One isn't really about atheism, but still. A. From theists. How does life have any meaning if you're an atheist? Excuse me? Have you never heard of Carl Sagan? Neil deGrasse Tyson? Have you never read Richard Dawkins' Unweaving the Rainbow? I suggest that believing in any kind of life after death, including heaven, hell, or the absolute worst in this case, reincarnation, makes life utterly worthless. But thinking like I do, that this life is it, and there are no more chances, and nothing else after this, makes life utterly priceless. B. In general, Ayn Rand worshipping objectivists who call themselves atheists. I'm sorry, but the invisible hand of the market qualifies as a god, thank you very much.
Communist.
So anyway, I hope you're still taking these. I love the show. Glad I found it. Sorry I found it late, listening intently here on out.
Yeah, well, and so he will hear us, and he'll think that we weren't doing 5 questions.
Oh my God, I bet he's hearing us right now.
He is hearing us right now.
Oh my God. How is the future? What is the weather like? Are there still animals?
What's it like next Tuesday?
Has Marvel done a bad movie yet, or are they still on a streak?
Please tell us in the comments, please.
Must know.
So that was awesome. I love talking about that. As a comedian, sad note, we were recording this the day after Robin Williams died. I just got to say that he was an amazing comedian, and the truth is that a lot of comedians deal with those kind of mental issues, and it's a shame that he that happened.
If you've ever thought about taking your own life, please get help, because there's no reason to not want to see tomorrow. And if you are an atheist, then generally you believe this is all we get. And I think the biggest waste is to throw it away. So please, there's a suicide prevention hotline. There's all kinds of resources out there. It's yours for the taking. You just got to try.
Unless you don't like Marvel movies, then do what you got to do.
Fucking A. All right, so we've been Geeks Without God.
I take it all back. No, seriously.
He doesn't take shit back. Don't listen to him.
If you enjoy our podcast, please rate us on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. All that regular jazz. We are going to be back next week talking about some other shit.
Please don't kill yourself in the interim.
Please don't kill yourself.
Even
if you don't like Marvel movies.
And we miss you, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Over and out.
Nanu, nanu.
What do you guys want to do? Something geeky? Something godless? Bit of both?
Bit of both!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize has moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
If you're going to be into autoerotic asphyxiation, have a buddy.